Now, a couple of years ago on All in the Mind, we debated the merits of a scheme to train a new generation of mental health social workers. A bit like Teach First, high-flying graduates are trained mostly on the job and with a lot of special support. It's called Think Ahead, and although not everyone in the field was in favour, there was no shortage of applicants. And we've been allowed to follow two of them to see how they got on. And this week I went out with one of the very first tranche of trainees. Charlotte Seymour used to work in the legal field, and back in November when she just started, this is what she told me.
I have definitely witnessed some things that I found quite hard. For example, I've been shadowing at a police station and seeing, in a particular case, a young person who was only 15, who, following a family dispute, had been left in a police cell until she was able to be seen by a psychiatric nurse. And that was fairly distressing to witness.
At the moment, Charlotte is on a placement in East London. Now, as I'm sure you'll appreciate, it's very unusual to get permission to sit in on sessions like this and to record them. And I think it's a mark of how much her clients value her that they wanted other people to hear what she does. And it is a real insight into what this kind of job must be like, especially when you're new to it.
Welcome to South Hackney CMHT, the recovery team. This is where we work. So we've got our fish tank and our nice self-portraits from some of the service users.
Oh, really? Up here. Self-portraits?
Yep. Mm-hmm. So do you want to come on through?
Yeah, please, yeah.
We're very flexible, so people can either see us, you know, at their homes or come and see us at the centre. Take a seat.
Great, thanks.
So this morning I'm seeing a gentleman who I've worked with since the end of last year. He had a brief admission to the hospital, and then subsequently he'd had a brief admission. It was an informal admission around him having some paranoid thoughts and some auditory hallucinations. He had started working more, which meant that he had had his benefits stopped. He was then sort of being threatened with eviction. His mental health is actually doing very well now, so probably will be discharging him quite soon. He's in a position where he can get on with his life, really.
So it sounds as though it's been very practical things that you're helping with.
One of the reasons for that is that English is his second language. He literally didn't have any money when he came out of hospital, that he was relying on food bank vouchers.
So what's the plan when you see him now?
The plan when I see him now is to see how things are going with his medication and if he has any concerns, really.
What are you doing the rest of today?
Oh, today just I'm going out.
Yeah, going out?
Yes.
To
yes,
see
yes.
Some friends or?
Yes, some friends, yes.
Okay. Thank you for coming to see me today. Things generally been okay?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell me a bit about what you've been doing over the last week?
Just some peaceful, look at some security job.
Oh, secretary?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
I mean, it's really impressive. You're doing so well now. I don't know if you would agree with me, but you seem just a lot happier in mood. You're smiling a lot more. You seem quite positive.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think if we see each other in maybe 2 weeks' time.
2 weeks' time, all right.
Yeah. And I think when we do have our final meeting, probably invite along your daughter and maybe your ex-partner as well.
All right, yeah. Okay.
Oh, what a nice man. He obviously likes you and likes what you've been able to do for him. Is that really satisfying, sort of hearing what difference it's made?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's the best part of the job.
6 months ago when we talked and you were just starting out, you were talking about how busy everyone is and about some of the challenges and about some of the surprising and shocking things that you were seeing in people's living conditions I remember you talking about seeing a young person detained in a police station.
Yeah.
How are you finding it now?
Oh, I'm definitely enjoying the job. There are still shocking things that you see. I think the difference when I met with you in December is that still quite a few of my experiences were being gleaned from other colleagues or from shadowing experiences. Now we have our caseload and we have a lot of responsibility. I said that we might do one of the questionnaire things, but I'm just wondering if that's a good idea now, and if maybe we should just...
Charlotte first met Emma when she was in hospital held under section. She's out now and has been doing very well, but she's suddenly been set back by a bereavement in her family.
Well, I just want to say I'm really sorry about your grandma, Emma. Can you tell me a little bit about what's been happening this weekend?
Well, this weekend, it's been difficult.
Yeah.
I know when I saw you last, I was doing a bit better than how I am presently.
Yeah.
Thinking whether I should go back to hospital or not.
Yeah.
Because I was doing quite
really well. Mm. You seemed to just have more energy. You were, you know, laughing a bit. What are the reasons that you would want to go to hospital?
Well, I'd be in a safe environment.
Okay.
But I don't know if hospital would be. See, it's like that paradox. You know, I hate hospital anyway, so it sounds strange.
I mean, last time you didn't... You weren't obviously very happy being in hospital, were you?
But I was sectioned.
Yeah. You think it would make a difference if you went in informally, say?
Well, yeah, it would make a big difference from being sectioned.
Like, what's at risk here?
What's at risk is what happened last time.
Yeah, okay.
And that was happened because of stress and then you're drinking.
Yeah.
And then stuff happening. But I don't want to drink. Yeah. And I'm really trying not to drink.
So it's about preventing that happening.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
That is an option, that if you feel unwell and you can't cope, of course you can go to A&E. You do want to keep that in your mind, yeah? So can we talk a bit about what your day is going to look like today and how we're going to keep you well,
essentially? I don't know how my day is going to look, Charlotte, to be honest. I'm just trying to get by moment to moment. I really don't know. And then going back to mine, I'm worried.
Yeah.
I'm anxious, but I don't know what's going to happen.
I don't think you should feel like this is inevitable. I mean, there's nothing apart from this stressful incident, you know, with your grandmother passing away last week and all of the things that have been going on with your family. Like, there's nothing other than that to suggest that you can't cope and that you're not doing well at the moment, is there?
But yeah, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. You're just being positive. Mm. You're trying to be optimistic.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Well, because I think I do have reason to be optimistic. But obviously I am concerned if you're thinking about drinking again. Because you are taking your medication, I'm not so worried in that sense that you're, you know, start having an episode or something. I think the main thing is just to sort of keep yourself not drinking. I mean, did you feel like up till last week things were sort of getting better?
I felt like my mental state was improving.
Yeah.
The depression was lifting a bit.
Yeah.
But it's just like my thought process now. It's not very... thinking about lots of different things like childhood, growing up.
Yeah, of course.
Not having her being my like main carer when I was younger. Problems with my own mother
and
family problems and people that I will have to see at the funeral.
Yeah, of course.
Just thinking, how am I going to cope with this, you know?
I mean, are you able for it not to worry? You're right.
Yeah, that's fine.
Do you want a tissue?
Yes, please. Thank you.
I guess what I'm thinking is, are you able to sort of appreciate that it is completely normal for you to be feeling low and thinking about all these things right now and distinguish that from the fact that you're doing well?
I think it's just the coping with it because I haven't been drinking, I haven't been doing
things. You've been doing so well, and has that been the same over this weekend?
Yeah, I don't want to use other things to cope with it, but I know that I generally that's what I would have done.
Mm.
I mean, I haven't slept.
Have you slept at all?
No.
So you've just been... Have you been going to bed?
I've been resting.
Like resting?
My boyfriend has been trying to help me rest, calm me down.
Yeah.
But I've not been good.
Like, I spoke to you on Friday and you didn't sound so low then.
Yeah, true.
Has anything changed over the weekend?
Just thinking
about it.
And meeting with my mum, family situations, people calling me.
And you need to speak to those people?
Well, they're
arranging a funeral.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because, you know, there's things called triggers.
Yeah.
And I feel like this has triggered a lot in me.
Yeah.
Because it's all tied into my childhood.
But on the plus side, you're here this morning.
I am.
You've come to every appointment with me. You've been on time.
Because I want to get well.
Yeah,
I don't want to not be well.
And you also understand the risks. You think about what sort of things can trigger you getting unwell. Professionals talk about it as like insight. And you have that like by the bucket load. That's something that should give you some confidence that you are going to be able to overcome this.
So was that quite a surprise for you that... Emma was in this situation today. I guess you never know how real clients are going to be when you see them.
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise. I mean, I know that her grandmother passed away last week. Generally, when I see people, you know, it's not a crisis situation. I'm not saying that's necessarily a crisis, but it could sort of go that way. She's almost sort of worried about getting unwell as well as maybe actually being unwell. So it's good just to sort of reassure her a bit around that as well and remind her about the strengths that she has and the progress that she's made and think about those sort of resources that she can draw on at the moment.
And I suppose what you're doing is you're trying to assess the situation, work out what she might do, what might be a good idea, but and then also how to communicate that, how to go about discussing that with her. That's quite a tall order.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the good things about training on the job, just being able to think on your feet a bit and maintain that positivity. You are both assessing and trying to understand what the risks are, but also if there's something like grief, that's going to affect everyone quite badly. So it's not really a surprise that she's now at this low ebb and that there's maybe only one thing that we could sort of identify that is maybe quite a risk, and that would be around drinking. And just think about if she could talk to her alcohol support worker today.
And you'll phone her later to see how she is?
Yeah, I'll phone her later just to see if she's feeling better or worse, essentially. You know, these sort of ideas as to getting yourself better have to sort of come from you and you're directing, but it's not much help if you're just telling someone the steps that they should take. But that can be really difficult to sort of abstain from that. So I'm sort of aware, you know, if I've suggested things like having something to eat and making a phone call, I don't know if she's going to take those on board or not. So just be good to see later if she has had anything to eat, if she's done things that have minimised the risk.
What do you do if she doesn't answer the phone later on?
If she doesn't answer the phone later on, I'll probably contact her partner. We, at quite an early stage, start having contact with someone's relatives, family members, like significant others.
So, that's agreed, isn't it?
The service user agrees to that. And I'd probably contact him. I mean, it might sound perverse, but that she's talking about going to A&E because, you know, that's her first instinct rather than to have a drink. So I need to keep myself safe. And I did want to reiterate that as well, that of course she can do that. She knows about the crisis cafe. She also... One thing I was just saying on the way out, she's got the number for the crisis line as well. So she does have all of those things. If she doesn't answer later and I can't get through to her partner, then that will be the end of the day and then I will come in and try phoning her tomorrow. But I wouldn't say at this point there's something else I need to escalate there.
Now, I'm sure you're wondering what happened. Charlotte did make contact with Emma at the end of the day, as promised, and they talked through a plan for that evening and the following day.